We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Dr. Michael Petrosky, who is a pediatrician at the Pediatric Center in Wexford, a department that people in the North are aware of expanding up there. Doc, welcome to KDK Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Kind of prime time for pediatricians right now because there's so many questions that moms and dads have about their kids when it comes to medicine. Let's start with initially, the governor had mentioned about giving a two-month moratorium to get the immunization that are required for kids to go back to school on a normal year. And he kind of changed that the other day by saying, what's the response that you're hearing from parents about getting their kids immunized, because we know there's been a backlog?
And there has been a little bit of a backlog, but I can speak for our practice and a lot of the other practices in HN Pediatrics. We are still seeing a lot of our kids for their well-child checkups, you know, the physicals, and we're doing it precautiously. I mean, we are not doing sick visits the same time we have well visits in. We're staggering our schedule. We're limiting visitors coming in. We are screening people before they come in with questions and getting people in and out as fast as they can. Everyone's wearing masks. We're cleaning, disinfecting rooms. So we're still able to keep up with what's going on now. When this first started, you know, March, April, we got backlogged a little bit, but we were catching back on track and getting kids the vaccines they need.
Okay, so what do you need? I can't remember what I had to get when I went to school. Of course, that was in the Stone Age. So typically, what are kids required to have before they can get into school?
So it's definitely certain different grade levels. Kindergarten, the entryway, I mean, that's a big one. So the main things we look for there are two doses of the MMR, two doses of the chickenpox vaccine. They also need some of the diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, polio vaccines, hepatitis B as well. The good thing about that is when you look at the recommended schedule from the CDC and the American Academy of Pediatrics, a lot of those we get done early on. I mean, in fact, you can complete everything you need before kindergarten shortly after the age of four. So the big things that usually the kindergarten, you can't get till you're at least four, the second MMR, the second chickenpox, the last DTaP, and the last polio. But we can get that as young as four. So it's not like we have kids, you need a whole series before you get back to school. If we're following the recommended schedule, there's usually just one or two vaccines you need before kindergarten starts. Seventh grade is another big one. That's the first tetanus booster and the first meningitis vaccine. And then the other big one is going into 12th grade. You need your second meningitis booster.
Well, it's a lot to keep and sort out, but obviously parents have been doing this for many years pre-pandemic. But now the concerns about kids that are going back into the classroom, what kind of questions are you getting from parents on that?
So when we're getting the questions are more of, you know, the health and safety for their children, and we know schools are doing what they can to help, whether or not it's staggering schedules, certain amount of people come, having the safety measures in place and having protocols for when and if children get sick. But also, I mean, the biggest I think discovery in the world of pediatrics for me has always been vaccines. Just that's our biggest tool for preventing illnesses. So we're encouraging kids to get their vaccines. Instead, we're offering it here in a what is as safe an environment as we can possibly give at this time.
Here's the million-dollar question, Doc. Normally, when would we get our flu shots for the season? Does it start in September or October?
So usually, a lot of it depends when we get our shipments of flu vaccines, and usually here we get them by the end of August. We try to get as many flu vaccines done during September and October. We know flu usually doesn't hit till closer to maybe end of November, December. There have been, 10 years, the H1N1 pandemic, the H1N1 flu came in October. So that's why we try to get as many done September, October. And we're really encouraging it this year because we don't know what it's going to be like with flu and coronavirus circulating at the same time. We know we have some protection with the flu, so we're trying to minimize any illness whatsoever. So that's why vaccines are at the forefront and try to help prevent a lot of these things.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, there is no vaccine that we know of for coronavirus yet, even if Russia's President Vladimir Putin announced that they have one, that's not going to come here, right?
No. And I don't know as much about that, but what I've read is that it seems like not all the trials have been completed, and we want to. And the vaccine process is pretty vigorous here, where you have to show that it helps, but it doesn't harm. And then even if that, that cycle gets started, the production is going to take time, and then distributing it out. And usually, I would expect that would go to more of the higher risk populations first, until we get enough product for everyone.
Doc, during the summer, and it's been unusually warm here in Pittsburgh and unusually sunny, that's a good byproduct of whatever's happening with the weather, but a lot of people wanted to get out of the house after being shut in. Kids are running around. Are you coming across any commonality with kids being outside more?
I mean, we know allergies have been a little bit different this year in the spring and the summer, so we're seeing that the typical kids running around playing injuries. Tick bites are big in this area, too. So seeing a lot of those, and, the high concern with tick bites is Lyme disease. So encouraging families to always check their kids using some type of insect repellent. But those are the big ones. But what's nice about being outside is usually you have a bigger open space. The air is moving, so you can socially distance a little bit more. And, the air, if there's the big concern, the coronavirus particles, they're able to move far away quite quickly.
If you get a tick bite, does that mean you'll get Lyme disease?
No. We know a lot of ticks around this area carry Lyme disease, but we found out ticks usually have to be attached for about 36 hours for them to transmit enough of the bacteria itself to infect an individual. So that's why we pay close attention to how long it's been on and make sure we try to pull the whole tick out. But even if it's been on longer than 36 hours, I always recommend contacting your physician, because there are some medicines we can try to do to help prevent getting Lyme disease.
Boy, that's great information. So again, if you get a tick bite, check yourself if you've been out and about, and make sure the sooner you remove it, the less chance of then getting Lyme disease. That's good information, Doc. Well, you're going to be busy. School's back in whatever way they're trying to figure it out, so we appreciate your time and expertise today.
All right, thank you so much for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.